Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Kicking off hour three on the program. Hey, tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. But speaking of Vegas, college football tonight, it's over. Well, it was over very early.
Yeah,
the Utah Utes are your Pac-12 champions, shutting the door on Oregon 38-10. This game was over early. Utah's pick six in the first quarter made it a 14-0 game. Oregon never really threatened after that. They had about 210 yards of total offense tonight, a complete domination by Utah. So now whatever chaos happens tomorrow, if you get a bunch of losses, if Michigan loses, if Cincinnati loses, you can scratch the Pac-12 from any of those scenarios, because had Oregon won, potentially they could have snuck in. They were the number 10 team in the country. If you get enough losses in front of you, being a conference champion Power 5 is a big deal, and they could have snuck in if things went their way. Now, the Pac-12 will be left out waving at everybody going, have a fun playoff, everybody. This will be awesome. Good luck.
Yeah, but if you live in the greater Los Angeles area, or, I mean, maybe, you know, you've got friends, do you want to advise them now to start listing Airbnb on, you know, the different community newspapers and news organizations in Utah?
Might want to. Yeah, pretty good point.
Try to make a couple of bucks in the holiday.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And then, you know, you can go travel somewhere else while they visit and enjoy the Rose Bowl. I'm only half kidding, man. It's all about monetization, baby. How do we make the most of this news? Because that game sucked. Okay.
Let's update Airbnb right now. Let's do it right now. Look, it stunk because Oregon comes into this game, and Mario Cristobal, the story surrounding him is the story in college football.
Yeah.
Because while Oregon is working on an extension with him, also he's allegedly close to becoming the new head coach at the University of Miami. So this is not how you want to go into a game. And clearly Oregon didn't have anything. They just get boat raced by Utah off the bat. But that's a big deal. Just think about that for a second, is that when it comes to the college football playoff, we got into this a little bit last hour, when you're a Power 5 conference champion, you will get the benefit of the doubt if it's a 50-50 toss-up between you and another team, because they like to reward the Power 5 conference champions. We'll have more on college football coming up in a few minutes, but there is going to be absolute history in college basketball on Monday because of this result just moments ago.
Purdue survives the test from the Iowa Hawkeyes.
There it is, Purdue Radio Network. Purdue wins, and now the number 2 Purdue Boilermakers are going to be the new number 1 team in college basketball for the first time in school history. Joining us now on the hotline is head coach Matt Painter. Matt, congratulations on the win. How does it feel? First time in school history, you guys are going to be ranked number 1.
Yeah, thank you. It feels great. Really happy for our players, happy for our fans. And, you know, just need to keep getting better, keep improving, and get ready for our game Thursday against Rutgers.
How much does it mean to be number 1 during the season? Like, as a fan, you know, I'd like to see my team being number 1 because it's fun.
Right.
You know, it's fun to say, hey, my team is number 1. You know, I went to Syracuse. I like when Syracuse, you know, years ago, when we could be number 1 a little bit. But what is it like, you know, being the coach, seeing everything that goes along with it? What does it mean to be number 1?
You know, I'm probably the last person to ask, since I'm technically never been number 1 until Monday comes. And we all know how quick it can turn, too. Like, everybody wants to go up against that team that's ranked high, especially the team that's ranked the highest. But, you know, happy, like you said, happy for our fans more than anything, happy for our players. But, you know, we want to be able to be one of the best teams, you know, in March. And we want to play well and be playing at our best at that time. I think it's a great thing to be in this position. We return a lot of guys, so we have an early ranking. We beat some good teams, Villanova, North Carolina, Florida State, Iowa. And so just proud of our guys, and you know, but it is pretty cool for them more than anything. But you also got to, you know, stay grounded and keep working and get ready for that next game.
Coach, I went to Northwestern in the early 90s, and it always felt like Coach Katie and pretty much everybody else was number one coming in playing against us. So, as I, you know, I'm still a champion for the conference all these years. I mean, you've got great balance going with the squad. In the game tonight, had to overcome, you know, the turnover battle. You know, normally you lose by a 2-1 margin there. Bad things happen to you. You know, how do you stick with it and, you know, just keep guys disciplined and not getting down when those kind of situations occur?
Yeah, no question. You know, we were able to get a couple key stops and make our free throws after we put ourselves in that position. And, you know, I just told the media, you feel like the old crusty coach because we weren't fundamentally sound. And then they look at you like you're, you know, you got horns coming out of your head. The players look at you like you're crazy, like, oh, you know, I'm not the one whipping the ball all around the court. And, you know, but just being sound and being fundamentally into it and making simple plays and moving the basketball and being able to handle that press. And now you're going to get quality possessions. When you don't, you know, you're going to get deflections. You're going to get turnovers. You're going to get sloppy, you know, possessions. And then you're going to get in that bind. We put ourselves in a great position and got up 19 middle of the second half. And then we took our foot off the gas. And, you know, you got to have a better concentration level and have a better focus and be able to put teams away when you have that kind of lead.
Now, it's kind of a moment you're having right now because you have this happening right now. You're going into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. That was announced a couple of days ago. And I love your quote saying, hey, I've never met a coach with bad players. You know, that kind of coach never existed. I kind of dug that when you said that.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Like, you know, you kind of go through the years and you look at those guys like, hey, man, those guys were really good coaches. Then you start to talk about, you know, you went to Syracuse and you start to talk about the players just in the last 50 years at Syracuse. You're like, you know, Coach Boeheim is a great coach, but he's had some great players. You know, Coach Katie was a great coach. He's had great players. Bob Knight in our state, you know, was a great, great coach. He had great players. I mean, great players. And so that's what it's about. It's a player's game. They obviously need a little direction. You have to have some order and keep everybody on the same page. But it's a player's game. And after you've been coaching a while, you know, shoot, they got to put you somewhere. So I was thankful. I'm very appreciative of it. But it's also really a team award.
Well, and to that point, right, joining Purdue in 2005, you know, the question always becomes, do the players change or do you as a coach, Coach?
I change. I've tried my best to change for today's player, for the culture, to understand things. It doesn't mean I agree with everything at all times. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's certain pillars of the game that's never going to change. You know, you got to be able to rebound. You got to be able to take care of the basketball. You got to put enough skill and decision makers on the court. Now, you can do a lot of different things. And as you grow into the thing that we have to battle is we have a very individualistic culture in our game. And the great ones can play with other players. And the great ones make other people better. And when they come up, they change so much. They change high schools. They change prep schools. They change AAU. Now they've made this NCAA rule where they allow people to have a one-time transfer. So now they're changing in college. So that's what the nucleus becomes, change. And the people that – who stays? Like, that's what I always tell our guys. Who stays? Like, who stares at adversity and says, man, this isn't going right, but I'm going to stay and fight and make it work? Those guys end up being successful. Those guys that say that doesn't mean somebody can have a bad experience and they can't transfer, and that's a bad thing, because it's not. But when people are just transferring to transfer and people are just moving to be moving, AAU, high school, prep school, college, what do you have? Well, you got a mess on your hands. Well, we were one of four schools that didn't take a transfer. We got our top eight back. We have some guys coming in. We had some guys sitting out. And it just makes for a good chemistry because, you know, now you're coaching guys and they're in their fourth and fifth year. You're coaching guys in their second and third year, where a lot of people are having juniors and seniors on their team, but they've been coaching them for 6 months. And that, it just doesn't work like that. You can have maybe a couple teams where it works and it's kind of an outlier, but a majority of the time you either got to have special young talent or you got to have a good group of experienced guys and have depth like we have if you want to have success.
All right, Coach, I want to make a deal with you right now here, and I think you're going to agree with me on this. You ready for this? I want to make a deal with you. It's on the radio. Everybody's listening. I want to make a deal with you. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know you were in Blue Chips, right, back in 1994. You were in the movie. Your induction ceremony to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame is at the end of March. If you make the Final Four, your induction speech has to be the Nick Nolte speech from the end of Blue Chips. Word for word, the Nick Nolte speech. Yeah. If you make the Final Four, that's your speech.
I think that was Pete Bell's speech. I think Nick Nolte said way better speeches than that. But that was Pete Bell's. It's actually the second weekend. The induction is the second weekend. If we can get to that second weekend, hopefully we can get further than that also. But I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Coach sent along a two-minute tape.
I'll shine off Pete Bell's speech. And if I have to do it, then I'll have it ready for you.
Coach, congratulations. A big moment for you. Number one team in the country on Monday. Congratulations. We'll let you go make some recruiting calls now to let everybody know what's going on.
There you go. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Some fun. There he goes, Matt Painter right
that
there.
That is fantastic.
Oh, boy.
I like that he did the correction and he had the character, Pete Bell.
Yeah. He said, no, that's Pete Bell's speech. He's like, okay, sure. But if I said you're
– And he didn't take a shot at Nick Nolte, which would have been easy for so many people to do.
No, I like how he went – he remembered the character's name. Because if I said the Pete Bell speech – right. That was Nick Nolte's character. A great moment here because, look, Purdue is going to be the number one team in college basketball for the first time in school history. And it's a big deal because, look, as he says, he's going to go make recruiting calls now and say, hey, you see what happened tonight? You know who's going to be number one in the country on Monday? Hey, these guys. What has two thumbs going to be number one in the country? These guys. But it's a big deal because it's fun to be number one. It's fun to be, even if you don't win the national championship, it's a year. Remember, we were number one. We were number one for a long time, however long it lasts. It's a big, big thing to be number one. It's big for the fans. It's big for recruiting. It's big for the players. Yes, you have that bullseye on you now, but I think you'd rather be the number one team than be chasing the number one team. And it's a big achievement. Matt Painter's been the Big Ten Coach of the Year four times now. Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Like I said, the guy's having a moment right now.
Yeah, at Purdue, 66.4% winning percentage. You've got the 12 NCAA tournament appearances thus far, and obviously the elusive title. Right? That's what you're looking for. And I like the answering the question about adaptability because I didn't want to just ask about NIL, right? That's too narrow part of the picture when we talk about where college basketball is. And, you know, he enumerated all of the things you and I have talked about on this show for years. I know that Doug Gottlieb on his show here on the network certainly addresses in terms of transferring and the different AAU cycles, etc., that, you know, it's difficult to navigate. So when you've got a nucleus as he has here, I mean, you just go down their roster and look at they've got six players averaging at least 9 points per game, great balance, and guys taking care at the foul line. Most of their players, they shot a lot of free throws today, 37 attempts to take down Iowa. I really was going to ask at the end, though, Jason, if he did a little smack talking going, hey, you lost tonight, you're going down tomorrow, too. No,
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. But that was a great thing he said. Look, I've never met a good coach who's had bad players.
Sure,
and it's just another way to say, hey, yes, it's great, and I'm happy to be doing this. But if you don't have good players, you're not going to win games. And that's just a way to understand, make people get that. Hey, if my five is better than your five, then you know what? Guess what? We're going to win the game. And, if my rotation is better than your rotation, then we're going to win because the players are better. And for a coach to never lose sight of that is pretty cool. For him to say that when you're going into the Hall of Fame. What about you? No, never met a coach with bad players. So he knows how to speak and how to play the game.
Well, you got to have the base talent, and then you refine it, right? I mean, at each step of the game, I mean, you see it coaching the kids you do. Right, you hope that as you hand them off, there are a few skills that they've taken from you. Maybe a couple of little life lessons, maybe a couple of impressions. I don't know, but the idea is that they go to that next coach, and it's all building blocks. And for Coach Painter, for some of these guys, this is it. So, he's got to maximize whatever talent they have left. It's going to be a hell of a run and a hell of a ride when you get to number one with a school that's had the success, which is why I mentioned Coach Katie, because I just remember them being, behemoths. Go back to Brian Cardinal and all those guys.
Yeah.
Who was there for like 37 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. I think 38. I think that last year he actually got an extra year.
Well, he might have. You know, he got another hardship year.
That's right.
He's 37. Dude, he looks like the people from 90210 that are supposed to be high school juniors. What are we doing?
He looks older than Matt Damon from the Crypto.com commercials.
Get a nap, Matt. Get a nap.
See, every time I see that commercial, I feel like I'm watching like it's from the like it's a commercial from the future because it's about crypto and Matt Damon looks old. I'm like, what's this commercial from?
But I told you. I mean, the day it launched, it's like he looked like he hadn't slept in a month, but he'd agreed to this and they had some tight window that they needed to get it up and out. And I don't know if they decided, hey, we need to have a month's run before we rename Staples Center to Crypto.com Arena. But there it is.
877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Thanks to Coach Matt Painter for stopping by. Purdue, number one in the country for the first time in school history. Boy, this weekend is going to be off the hook, as the kids say. But coming up next, we get back into college football and the huge day tomorrow. It's whatever you want to call it,
huge
Armageddon.
Boner.
It's Championship Saturday. We'll tell you what to expect and what team still needs help, even though they're in the top four of the college football playoff. It's not Cleveland. It's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Thanks, Purdue head coach Matt Painter, stopping by a few minutes ago. Purdue with the win tonight. They will be the new number one team in college basketball on Monday. A moment for the coach. He's going to the Indiana Hall of Fame. That was announced a couple of days ago. A big, big weekend and a big night for him. Purdue number one for the first time in school history. From college basketball now to college football, we watched Utah just steamroll over Oregon tonight in the Pac-12 championship game. With us now on the hotline to look ahead at tomorrow, Championship Saturday, the owner, proprietor, Grand Poobah of collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for everything college football. It's Pete Futak. Pete, what's happening, man?
Can I ask the question? Being number one in college basketball in the first week of December, so?
Pete, you may never get there again. You got when it happens, you got to
find your
celebrate
wins,
it.
Baby.
You have to be able to.
Wait, okay, super. All right. You know, all that matters is when you're in 68, I guess, in March, right? I mean, like, for now, it's just a fun exercise. And, you know, when the judges say you're number one, okay. Kind of cool, I guess, right? I mean, I'm with you. I just don't have the bandwidth for college basketball yet. I want to. I'm trying so hard. But it's like, it's not there yet. There's NFL things that matter that are happening and things. I'm trying. I'm really trying real hard, Ringo.
You can. Nicely done. I'm trying to be the shepherd. You know, listen, you just can't go to Purdue ever again. I mean, I don't know if you're just not going to be able to go. That's it. You're now banned from Purdue.
I've never really wanted to go there. It's seen wow. it. I've been there. But, yeah, I'm just saying it.
Now you're really banned from Purdue.
I'm a Big Ten guy. You know, go Big Ten. Let's go. I'm all in. They're all my, you know, they're all part of my brotherhood from Big Ten world. Yes, I like Purdue. Okay.
All right.
Even though I take Purdue every year in the tournament, and then they go out, like, right out of the gate, but it gets, like, Central Western State or something like that.
All right, well, look, let's start with the Big Ten. There's many nervous Michigan fans, my wife included. Hey, everything went great last week, but there's going to be a bounce this week. How could there not be all kinds of pressure on Michigan? Any chance we see something really crazy in the Big Ten championship tomorrow with Iowa?
See, this is why you can't have nice things, Michigan fans. Like, you can't – literally 30 seconds after the Ohio State win, I got at least 8 texts being like, oh, my gosh, you think we can win the Big Ten? We're going to blow it now in the Big Ten championship. Oh, my God, what if we lose to Cincinnati in the college football playoff? Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. Like, look, Iowa's good. You know, they've got a defense. They're there for a reason. They have no offense. Their offensive line stinks. And the only way Iowa wins this is if they force 3 Michigan turnovers or more, and Michigan doesn't turn the ball over. So, as long as your lines are all right, you should be okay. I don't think this is going to be easy. I don't think this is going to be like the Utah, you know, game where it's just like you knew within 30 seconds that, yeah, this isn't going to happen for Oregon. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be more of a grind. It's going to be a little more like the Nebraska game or even the Penn State game where it's just it's going to be a fight all the way through. But unless Michigan keeps screwing up, I don't think it's going to happen just because this offensive line for Iowa is miserable when it comes to allowing teams to get in the backfield. And this is going to be Aiden Hutchinson Day Part 2. I think the Michigan defensive front gets in the backfield on a regular basis. But this Iowa defense keeps games close. So, again, you're going to sweat it out for four quarters, but I think you'll be all right.
All right, we'll get into more games tomorrow, but obviously we watched Mario Cristobal. A lot of speculation that he won't be at Oregon any longer. Even on the sidelines, we joked that maybe there's a distraction that's causing problems. That, on top of the other coaching news this week, what'd you make of the carousel, Pete?
Okay, it's the weirdest aspect of American life where, you know, if you lose two games, you can't coach anymore and you're no good and you're fired. And if you beat Michigan, you get $95 million. So, like, it's all right. It's pretty extreme on both ends. Look, the Mario Cristobal thing, excuse me, stewardess, I speak coaching carousel. That is an agent doing his or her job, basically saying, hey, look, you know, my guy might go to Miami, because that's where the contract extension comes very, very fast. Just like if you're Josh Heupel's agent, for example, I don't know how Tennessee hasn't announced a 40-year contract extension, but just throwing out the idea that, yeah, Josh Heupel was a Heisman, you know, finalist at Oklahoma and won them a national championship, and they might like Josh Heupel. Because that's what agents do, is they use people like me and people in the media and say, hey, my guy's being, you know, talked about for this gig, and, oh, let's throw another, you know, lop another, you know, $100 million on the fire here, just between, you know, good friends here, and let's keep our guy around for a while. So I think that's it more than anything else. You know, Miami doesn't have an athletic director right now, so they're not really talking about Miami here yet for Cristobal. So I just think this is really to try to keep him around. But obviously that's big. The Lincoln Riley thing is massive. That just takes the Pac-12 to a whole nother level. USC was always the best gig open among all this. Brian Kelly to LSU. All right, fine. Didn't seem like anybody was all that upset about it in Notre Dame world. And good luck trying to find anybody associated with the Notre Dame football program who has anything other than just total glowing praise and love for all things Marcus Freeman. I mean, that you want to talk about just an energetic guy who just seems to be on the track to be a superstar in the near future. Everyone wanted, it just seemed like Notre Dame wanted that energy, wanted that guy, wanted what he brings to a program, and they didn't want to lose him. It might take a little while for, you know, his program to kind of get up to speed to where he wants it to get to, only because never had the head coaching experience. That's the only thing missing. He's going to recruit lads. They love him. Everyone knows him. That is a fun hire for a program. And all of a sudden, with one hire, Notre Dame gets kind of likable already.
Pete College there with us, the Jason Smith. Hi, Carmen. All right, for Notre Dame, they need some help tomorrow if they're going to get into the college football playoff. If you're looking at one game that's going to give Notre Dame or Oklahoma State, whoever it might be, that help, which is the playoff team you could see taking an L tomorrow?
I kind of think Cincinnati could get knocked out. But, look, it's not crazy. Again, if Iowa starts taking the ball away, I don't think it's going to happen. But, again, if you know the Iowa D comes up with three turnovers, that could be weird. I don't think Baylor loses to Oklahoma State. I just think that Oklahoma State defense rises up after last week. Jerry Bohannon, the starting quarterback for Baylor, is still dinged up with a hamstring injury. I don't think that one's happening. And Alabama, for everybody's sake, cannot win. If Alabama wins, that just screws everything up for everybody. And here's the other crazy part about this. Think of this if you're Michigan. You can lose tomorrow, and if everyone else loses, you're still probably in this. As a two-loss team, you might set a precedent. It's never happened before where a two-loss team gets in. But because of the Ohio State win, that might just be enough. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think we're going to have chaos. Look, we have yet in the college football playoff era to have anything other than total chalk. when it comes to the big college conference championships. It's always been, we have not had the, you know, the Baylor beating the Oklahoma State. We have not had, you know, the three-loss team come up with the, you know, the shocking upset to screw somebody up. It's always gone according to form. The one part about this that I think is the outlier is the American Athletic Conference championship game, which it's going to be interesting. They start this thing off early. We'll see where everyone falls after that. But look, if Alabama beats Georgia, I kind of think Cincinnati's not going to get in unless it annihilates Houston. Style points are absolutely going to count from that one.
See, I don't know about that because I look at it and say, okay, what's the biggest thing that could happen tomorrow, all right? This is Alabama, and they screw everybody if they win, right? I think Cincinnati needs Alabama to lose because if Alabama wins, Bama and Georgia are getting in, and as long as Michigan wins, they're in. So then you're talking about, do you take Cincinnati or if Oklahoma State wins, a one-loss Power 5 conference champion. And it's going to be hard for me to see them, to see the college football playoff committee say, yes, we're taking Cincinnati over a one-loss Power 5 champion.
Take it even further than that. And look at what happened over the last 2 weeks. And here's the college football playoffs rationale for that. Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma last week, the number 10 team in the country. Cincinnati beat East Carolina. You know, that team on the other side in the OU uniforms had some talent there, and that is a top 10 win. This week, I believe Baylor is number 8, I think. I should know this off the top of my head, but they're definitely top 10. So technically, the toughest schedule over the last 2 weeks of the season is a 12-1 Big 12 champion because it's going to have two top 10 wins to close out the season. Meanwhile, Houston's nice. East Carolina's nice, but that's not enough. It's just the schedule just isn't enough. So you're saying a 12-1 Power 5 conference champion, which in the college football playoff era, there's only been one snubbing, and that came when Ohio State got blown out by Purdue 1 year and Notre Dame had to be in at 12-0. I don't think Cincinnati gets that same 12-0 benefit of the doubt. Their schedule's just not strong enough. And again, you got two top 10 wins for an Oklahoma State team that haven't quite been factored into the ratings. And remember, as we've talked about all year, all that matters is whatever happens on these final rankings. Everything else is just an exercise.
Well, and then for Notre Dame, you've got the video of look how much they love their new coach and the fact that Reese didn't go and they decided to tell Brian Kelly to beat it and all stayed at Notre Dame.
Oh,
they're ready.
Without question.
They're ready to go. That was a recruiting video, Pete.
Oh, and he absolutely, and you're not joking. That's absolutely part of the lobbying thing where Marcus Freeman, he was talking to his team. He was also talking to the College Football Playoff Committee. Now, no way Notre Dame decided to hire Marcus Freeman right now just for the College Football Playoff to mez a chance to get in. That would be a short-sighted move, and no, they wouldn't have done that. However, if they were going to hire him anyway, that was the timing to do it because you saw the speech he gave to his team where he just flat out says, like, look, we're not coaching for next year. We're not coaching for 6 years. We're coaching for today and the next game. It would only be fair to the seniors. Basically, he's telling the College Football Playoff Committee that, you know what, everything's fine. If you were going to take Notre Dame with Brian Kelly, head coach, then you're going to take it now because nothing changes. This team is just fine. The coaching staff's going to be just fine. You can't use the head coach as a rationale to not take Notre Dame if that becomes a factor.
He's on Twitter at Pete Futak. That is at Pete Futak. CollegeFootballNews.com. Your one-stop shopping for college football. All the previews, all the analysis done by this man with us here on the show. Pete, as always, buddy, appreciate it. If you ever have to fly over Purdue and fans are going to follow your plane like they do, hey, the head coach is on this plane, you call us for help. We'll help you out.
And probably Purdue grads probably made that plane to begin with, those engineering students. So I like you all, Purdue. Thank you for doing that.
Take it easy, Pete. Have a good one. Oh, it's like in The Simpsons. when in the monorail episode when Lyle Landley says, North Haverbrook, where have I heard that name before? And the people are on the ground and they go, there he is, seat 7H, let's go get him. Oh, that was so obtuse, but it was fun. Great stuff with Pete Futek. We got more college football on the way, but right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Carmen and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this for like a week and a half now, Ty Shirt.
We've been playing finally Christmas music for less than a week.
You're finally giving us... Yeah, but you always like to throw this in before.
No, that's not true.
That's kind of your thing.
Also like to put cheese on a chicken sandwich.
I actually had cheese on a chicken sandwich tonight. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh.
The dulcet tones of Chewbacca singing Silent Night. Thanks to Matt Painter for stopping by with us early this hour. Purdue head coach. Purdue's going to be the new number one team in the country with their win tonight. Congratulations to them. We got more college football on the way. We're also going to break down the big win by Golden State over the Phoenix Suns. They take game two of the Western Conference Finals this week, now evening things up. But looking ahead this weekend in the NFL, time for Mike and I to make some big, bold predictions for Week 13. And I'm going to hear this first big one, Mike, and I'm going to tell you that this is the week the Rams get it back on track,
okay,
and they go on a run. Now, they have the matchup to do it. I'm not saying, you know, it's not like that. But the Rams are starting to realize what team they have to be. The offense is becoming lethal in the air. They have three wide receivers that Matt Stafford can throw to. This is going to be their way out. They're having trouble running the football. Eventually, you can only put so much ice and tape and figure out the running game when you have so many injuries at running back. Their way to continue to dominate is through the air. They're going to throw the football a ton. As long as Odell is just okay, it's going to be really difficult because Kupp and Jefferson and Odell are a lethal threesome, and they're going to win. And this is going to start the good times again for the Rams. They know this is their way forward. This is the end of the midseason doldrums, and the Rams start rolling from this weekend.
Yeah, this is where they pick up whatever to make a makeshift tourniquet because you got a bad team coming in. It ain't stopping the bleeding, baby. They have lost their identity. Got to go see the wizard, get some heart along the way. You know, I'd love to say, hey, the Fighting Campbells finally get a win. That ain't happening. Yeah. I will say this, though. The Houston Texans at home getting 10. Tyrod Taylor, Brandon Cooks, and Lovie Smith in that defense. That's right. I'm giving praise to Lovie Smith that they caused some wrinkles and problems for the Indianapolis Colts. Why? It's one of those series, if you go back in the history of these matchups, where we get some strange results, right? Assumption win one side or the other, and they get punched in the mouth, or, hey, it's going to be a defensive struggle, and all of a sudden it's a game in the 50s. That's what we get here, and I am going to take the Texans to shock the world.
Oh, look at you. I dig that. I dig that. The Texans, that could get the Jets closer to the number one pick again.
Talk about
oh,
bold.
Goodness.
Let's be bold,
yeah.
People.
The game of the week, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this on Monday, New England and Buffalo.
Yeah.
New England is red hot. Buffalo has been up and down. This is the game that Buffalo slows down the Patriots and slows their roll. Buffalo is simply too big to fail. All right, they're getting their offensive line healthy, which is a really big deal this week. Two starters are coming back. Their defense is going to make it too tough on Mac Jones. I know Notre-Davious White, their defense will make it tough on Mac Jones. Even without him, with more Matt Breida coming out of the backfield, clearly he's the guy that is the best option out of all three of their running backs. He's most explosive and dynamic. He will have a big game. I'm telling you, this is when Buffalo gets back to being the team we thought they were going to. They need a big win to get there, and getting healthy on the offensive line. And let's face it, Josh Allen finally broke through the last time he played New England, the end of last year. It's the same team. It's got a better defense even though there was a year ago. Buffalo gets the win. They right the ship this week, and they beat the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the curiosity is, can they take away Stephon Diggs? We know that's what Belichick likes to do. Let's take away your best option. So does that mean Dawson Knox and Matt Breida are enough? Or do we get another appearance. You know, it is appropriate with the time of year. Will Gabriel Davis put in an angelic performance,
TJ,
Monday Night Football?
Very nice, very
nice.
Wait,
like,
didn't Gabriel
like
fall from grace, though? Didn't he fall from grace, though, eventually?
No.
Was that Gabriel?
That was Satan.
No, I know that, but I thought Gabriel had like a temporary fall.
No, no? The angel Gabriel from heaven came. I'll start singing the whole Sting song. Gloria.
Wow. That was your Sting impression?
No. Look, I didn't go full throated. I was singing the Sting song.
Okay.
Ass.
This time. Okay, no.
We should go see his show in Vegas, by the way.
All right. And Mike Harmon clearly on the fields of gold talking about his big, bold prediction for this week.
Well, no, absolutely. The other one, and I guess this is where it gets bad. We actually hear, and he walks away from the podium and doesn't come back this time after Seattle loses at home again. As Jimmy Garoppolo, without Debo Samuel, go in and they absolutely smash the Seahawks. Pete Carroll has no answers. And we legitimately get the rumblings that the rest of the season that they'll part ways. How about that?
And the Jets get closer to two top five picks in the NFL draft. It's so exciting. I'm so excited.
And it's all about Jimmy G. At the helm.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Jimmy. Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there you have it. Our big, bold predictions for Week 13 in the National Football League. As always, if you miss any of the show, you can get it right after our show is over, basically about 10 minutes after we get done. It goes right up on social media. It goes up on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Basically, it's wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Subscribe to us. Rate us. We'll love you forever and ever again. iHeartRadio app, iTunes. It's wherever you get podcasts. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Enjoy it. And we enjoy doing this product for you as well. We'll have more NFL on the way. And also, some big things to know about what could happen after college football Saturday Armageddon tomorrow. Fox.